I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So the quarterfinals are almost complete, Catherine Whittaker, as we sit here in your lobby watching Novak Djokovic having just posted the first set against John Millman. However, you have just pointed out that he isn't looking overly happy with life, just at the moment.
Well, at this very, very moment, he is sat on the chair with his head buried in an ice boa. He is doing those crazy, wild eyes to his box. In fact, he's pointing at his box. It's those eyes that he has when he's just gone. We've seen a couple of times, and as you know, I relate to it because I just sometimes go in the humidity. I just sort of, it's like a boxer that's just about to go out for the count. And he's, hang on a second, I mean, this is live commentary of soon to be out of date Novak Djokovic reaction. But he's doing his sort of sarcastic faces. And I mean, this bears a lot of similar, I mean, not that Federer was doing any, I mean, Federer wouldn't deign to do sarcasm, would he? But
He does do it sometimes.
Does he?
When does Federer towards umpires, usually, and sometimes towards journalists. Yeah.
Give me an example of Federer sarcasm.
He's sarcastic to umpires sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it bears a heck of a lot of similarities then.
Yeah.
We're getting close-ups of the box, of the Novak Djokovic box, where there is deep conversation going on. He's now arguing with the umpire. Goodness me. I mean, yeah, this is
interesting. Anyway,
interesting
stuff that has happened. This is the Tennis Podcast, everybody, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and Amazon Prime Video UK. And Catherine has been presenting all day long. You've had Jimmy Connors with you in your studio today.
We have, yeah.
How was
the legend that?
That
is. It was pretty great, actually. It was, he's obviously one of those people that I'm so completely aware of how brilliant and how great he is, but it's also, he's not my generation. I don't have any, but I probably just about remember somewhere in the depths of my brain, or maybe I could be fabricating this, that 1991 run. I mean, I do have memories from around that time in my life, and I'm sure my parents were following it, but basically, bottom line, I don't have any Jimmy Connors memories, so I'm genuinely interested in everything he has to say, and I can appreciate him. But yeah, I'm a fraud to some extent. They are YouTube memories.
Yeah. And stuff I've told you.
And stuff. Yeah. Well, exactly. I'm sort of
old man law.
Yeah.
Telling his stories.
Yeah.
At the bar.
But a couple of the most significant things he said were: first of all, I think he thinks Del Potro is going to win the title.
Really? Why do you think that?
Because he said that.
Okay, right. Okay, what was his reasoning?
It was largely emotion. He talked a lot about he said, quote, exact quote, the New York crowd could win him the title here.
Well, he credits the New York crowd with dragging him into the semi-finals in that 1991.
Well, exactly. He knows the power of it.
And he was 39.
I think he sees that in Del Potro. Mm. And the The other, I mean, there are many interesting things. I'm sure it will be available on Catch Up on Prime or on their social media somewhere. But I asked him about, you know, he, amazingly, despite all the many incredible generations that have come through, he's got a couple of really significant records that still stand. The most titles won on the men's tour, 109, and the most match wins as well, which I think is pretty good going. I think he's 66. In fact, I know he's 66 because he shares a birthday with my dad. I said, you know, do you feel protective of your records? Are you keeping an eye on those and the people snapping at them? And he said, well, all those records that have been broken in the last few years, who have they been taken from? Jimmy Connors. In fact, he didn't even get to deliver the punchline because Greg interjected, Jimmy Connors.
Go on, Greg.
Go on, Greg.
So basically, yes, he is. He's,
rhetorical question,
he's
Greg.
He's got a list. He's got like a wall chart of all of his titles.
Yeah.
And he's sort of circling the ones that he doesn't think are going to get broken.
Yeah, so he sort of said the right
That's
stuff about, like,
of
you
it.
Know, I know they'll get broken eventually, but equally, yes, I am keeping a very close eye on.
And hopefully not.
Yeah, but look, he's obviously got incredible insight into the game, particularly on the doll who he... Yeah, I mean, he sees himself in Nadal. Yeah. In, you know, he's,
that never say die.
Yeah, absolutely. Nadal is in spirit himself reincarnated. A massive insight, and he'll be joining us for the men's semis and final.
Yes, wow, that'll be something really interesting.
And he wore a great tie.
Did he? I did. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah,
with flamingos on.
Yeah,
I've got a shirt with flamingos on. I really felt like. Well, I mean, he wasn't aware of this, but I really felt like we were bonding over our flamingo clothing.
I'm a flamingo-free zone, so that's yeah. Yeah, he was, as you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to work in this sport, because of that 1991 runner. I was absolutely inspired by him, as appallingly as he behaved at times during that course of that fortnight. And I do kind of want to ask if he's got any regrets whatsoever.
He said, I asked him that. He
Did
said
you?
No. He really? Said, I have absolutely no what-ifs from my career.
Wow.
And I said, how rare do you think that is? You know, among your, you must see your old rivals and peers often, is it rare that for one of you to not have regrets and sleepless nights and what ifs? And he said, oh, I can't speak for them. Subtext, yeah.
Right, well, today's tennis. We started off with Naomi Osaka, just
briefly.
Winning
briefly,
easily.
We did.
Lesia Sorenko apparently had a virus. Somebody sent me a note and said...
Oh, she wasn't right.
Yeah.
She wasn't right
from
the start.
Still.
But she didn't do a very good job of... And maybe she wasn't able to, because she definitely, you know, wasn't all there. But she wasn't able to cover it up at all. Mm. And what a gift for Naomi Osaka. If she was feeling the occasion at all, in the post-match interview, she said, my whole body was shaking. What a gift to have mentally.
Yep. Osaka is just flying, isn't she? I mean, she actually said afterwards that she views a quarterfinal as what she was aiming for.
And the fact there's aggro happening, David. There's aggro. There's real life aggro. Live aggro.
Conversation.
Milman and Djokovic are at the net. Oh, my goodness.
They're having words.
Live aggro.
I tell you what,
turn the volume
we're just going to stop for a second because we want to find out what's going on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Okay, well, Catherine, we've just had about a 10-minute interlude that obviously none of you know anything about because Novak Djokovic and John Millman had a chat at the net. We didn't know what was going on, so we decided to watch. Millman has said to Djokovic, "Do you mind, mate, if I go and just change my clothes because I'm soaking wet?" And Djokovic apparently said, "Well, to be honest, I could do with the rest." This has happened at 2-2 in the second set. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. Interrupting a match mid-set like that, basically agreeing between themselves, this is crazy, it's too humid, we're absolutely burning up here. And Djokovic has needed some salt tablets or something like that, which his team hadn't got for him, and his wife, I think, came and brought them on. My goodness, this is dramatic and bizarre.
Yeah, completely. And if John Millman weren't universally recognised as the nicest man in tennis, I'm sure that request might not have gone down quite so well, but you cannot possibly you can't question the sportsmanship, I don't think, of John Millman.
So quite good nice on Djokovic really, for going.
Yeah. Anyway, good on him.
So where do we get
but
to?
Del Potro was denied a short changing break.
Yes, this is the problem.
Yesterday,
it's all pretty
and then threatened, sort of in dirty protest, to change his shorts in full view of the public on court. He put a towel in place.
Go
in
on,
readiness.
Delpo. Go on.
And then was intervened from doing that. So I don't know. Is shorts changing?
Why wasn't
okay
he allowed
or not?
To do it? That was ridiculous. You should have let him do it on the court. Why not?
I'm going to put this publicly out there. I've got no issue with players changing their wet shorts.
There you go, Catherine.
Just apply the wet short rule consistently.
Fine. Okay. We've decided.
Do you agree?
That. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. No problem with it.
I don't want to see players running around in wet shorts.
But you don't mind them taking them off and running?
No, I want them to, in a timely manner, go and change their shorts in private and return to the court and resume the match.
Does it have to be in private? Why does it have to be in private?
It doesn't have to be.
If
I just presume they'd feel more comfortable doing
it
in private.
Well, you can have the choice, can't you?
Yeah, of course our standards of what's considered sort of palatable and acceptable are completely arbitrary, but
yeah.
I imagine that most players would more likely feel more comfortable changing their shorts in private. We've gone down a shorts rabbit hole, David.
Okay. Well, let's
for which
get back
I'm
to,
largely responsible.
Let's get back to Naomi Osaka and her brilliance and the fact that she won and she's through. And just a tweet as well from Billie Jean King today in which she tweeted Naomi Osaka and actually referenced the previous round, I think, in which she shed tears, Osaka, after being Sabalenka, and she said that some people had been teasing her, and Billie Jean King wrote to her and said, "I'm really sorry to hear that people have been teasing you. Never ever believe that you need to behave in a way that is anything but authentic." It was a really sweet tweet from her. And
Can you imagine receiving a tweet from Billie Jean King telling you you're great, just be yourself?
Pretty cool.
The most life-affirming possible experience.
Yes, it would work for me.
I mean, yeah. maybe that helped today, genuinely.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was just on fire today. She just...
Unreal. Take away the Sabalenka match, and arguably Sabalenka is the informed player at the moment. That was 7-6 in the third. Take away that match, she's lost 9 games in 4 matches, Osaka.
In 8 sets?
Yeah.
9 games in 8 sets?
Yeah. It's outrageous.
Yeah. A couple of bagels in there as well, 2 or 3.
Yeah, so I'm so pleased. Well, what a day for Japan. Our studios, our Prime Video studios, are next door to WowWow, the Japanese, the Japanese broadcaster. And they are always, I mean, everybody just loves WowWow. They are always so nice, and no matter how knackered everybody is, they're just lovely, and they're always offering you sushi, and they were just delighted today. I mean, a truly historic day for Japanese tennis, having a man and a woman through to the semi-finals. Giveaway, spoiler alert, Nishikori won as well.
He did, in 5 sets against Marin Cilic.
Yeah, and interestingly, Osaka said in a press conference, I think after the Sabalenka win, that she was really inspired by watching Nishikori at Wimbledon and what he did. And I remembered that after Nishikori's last round victory, which was over...
I can't remember.
Anyway, he came to the WowWow studio, as the Japanese players always do after they win, and he was sat there for about half an hour after his interview watching the end of the Osaka-Sabalenka match and living and breathing every single minute of it with all the presenters and the crew in the WowWow studio. And I thought maybe he was a little bit inspired by Naomi Osaka today.
Well,
and a couple of days
not?
Ago. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a lovely story, isn't it? I've been searching for the statistic about the last time Japan had 2 semi-finalists in the US Open.
They haven't.
They've never had it.
No.
Because I know that the stat
not a man
was,
and a woman, certainly.
The quarterfinal one was 22 years, 23 years, something like
1995
that.
At Wimbledon.
Yeah, 23 years. But nobody had got a mention of the semi-finals.
I believe it hasn't happened.
Wow. Very cool.
Certainly not a man and a woman. I would have to double check whether there's been 2 men or 2 women. But yeah.
Cilic,
I mean,
today.
And for it to happen on the same day, I mean, all of our day session winners today were Japanese.
Mm. Cilic started like a train today. He was brilliant in the first set and a half. And he couldn't miss. He was just hitting... It was like watching him in 2014.
And then he realised how well he was playing.
Well, I don't know what went wrong. I'd love to read the... Well, I don't know whether... He wouldn't answer honestly.
No. Not that does he know?
No.
I'm
but
not sure he
so
knows.
But it was so weird. Again, though, I think it's a bit like Federer. He was over-hitting all the time. You know, he was going over the baseline, losing control. Maybe the air. I don't know.
It was as demonstrative as I've ever seen him on court, and not in a good way, because largely it was, you know, it was all going wrong for him, certainly after, as you say, that first set and a half. He was, I mean, it was Djokovic-esque, you know, those sort of laser-like eyes he was giving his box and really berating himself, and I think he did a racket throw at one point. This is the most mild-mannered man in tennis besides Sean Millman. And quite right too today. He absolutely was quite right to be as frustrated as he was, because what an incoherent match from Marin Cilic. How can he possibly sort of digest that, make anything of it, move on from it?
It was one of the worst 5-set matches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, momentum changes all over the place. None of them made any sense. None of them, it felt like there was inspirational tennis being played. The crowd weren't particularly engaged.
It's funny, because last night we were sitting at, considerably later, thank you, Rafa Nadal and Dominic team, we were sitting here and I was saying, I always want a 5th set, always, because I just want the competition, I want the drama. I didn't want a 5th set. I mean, I didn't...
It wasn't the same, was it?
Very Let's neutral about who won, but I wasn't wishing for more of that match.
And actually, on that subject, I think we should just reference Nadal again from last night against Team, because we went through the match in its stages. You and I both fell asleep in the tiebreak.
You didn't get to the tiebreak. I mean, I don't remember my eyes closing.
Neither do I.
It was 6-6 games all. I remember I remember the commentator saying, and of course we're going to fifth set tiebreak, first fifth set tiebreak of the tournament, and the next thing I knew my alarm was going off.
Well, mine was, I got into the room, and obviously I wanted to record a bit at the end of the podcast, you know, to just tell everybody what I thought of what had happened. Well, I sat there with my microphone on my stomach, lying on the bed, watching the telly. It goes into the tiebreak. I'm loving it. I'm pumped. You know, I've had people having a go at me today, saying, "How can you fall asleep in a match like that? What sort of tennis fan are you?" Right?
Oh, crikey. And
yeah, this has been happening. And then at one point, all when I'm absolutely into it, suddenly I'm in the Tom Rinaldi interview, and I'm like, "Oh, Nadal's been interviewed. He must have won. What happened? What day is it?" I had no idea what was going on at all. So, other than to say, just talking to people around the grounds and people we work with, how bowled over people were with that match. I mean, we didn't see every ball because of our various work commitments, etc. And it's one of those that you wish, and I felt this at Wimbledon, I didn't get to really soak up Del Potro Nadal. I did with the Djokovic Nadal because I was commentating on it. But it's
you
one
soaked
of those.
It up, you know, in your subconscious last
yeah.
night.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, it sounded amazing.
I mean, well, first and foremost, just going back to that quickly, Team's comment about how that match will live with him forever. Mm. I mean, in good and bad ways, I think it has to be said. But yeah, I mean, it was really, really piercing the way
well,
he said that.
I saw your the montage that your coverage had on it this morning, because basically Catherine presents a half an hour show just before the play begins and wrap up the night before and all that sort of thing. When Team misses the smash and goes to the net, and they and Rafa goes around the other side of the net and gives him a hug, I'm telling you, I was filling up. I really
too.
Was because, and it was the. Do you know what the bit that did it was when Rafa put his arm around him and then just leant his head in and just touched foreheads with Dominic Team, and I thought, that is so touching, and it just made me think of, as awful as sports, as boxing is, as brutal as it is, as violent as it is, and as much as in many ways I think it shouldn't exist, the respect, the mutual respect that these people have for each other after beating 10 bells out of each other, and then they experience something you hardly ever see aggro after a fight like that, and it's the same in a match like this. And actually, I'd be quite curious with Connors as to whether how he feels with some of his opponents, because you got the sense that he didn't have that moment of catharsis having had the on-court battle. It still felt like there was aggro with Nadal. It's all on the court. You put it in. You try and win the match. If you don't win the match, you give him a hug and you say, well done. If you do win the match, you give him a hug and you say, you're a legend. You know, it's just really, I found it so touching and uplifting. I really did.
And I think even if you're not a Nadal fan, even if you're not somebody that necessarily roots for him in matches, I think you have to accept that He's given the people that aren't his fans as much as he's given his fans, because he gives you he's the best value tennis player out there,
it's
isn't
the
he?
Occasion. He's giving you a moment.
He gives you the occasion. I can't think of another player where after a 6 love set where he was. I mean, it was a chastening experience, those 24 minutes for Nadal last night. You knew absolutely that had no bearing on what was to come, the fact that he'd experienced that bruising. I don't think there's anybody else that I could say that of. And to know, usually, you know, you see a one-sided first set and you go, oh, well, what kind of match is this going to be? You never think that with Nadal. You know he's going to give you a match.
That's right.
You know, body depending. And even if you don't want him to win that match, you need to be grateful to him for the match that he's given you and the many, many of those matches that he's given us all.
True.
It sounds like an obituary. I don't think he's going anywhere, but you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. I think we should value it.
You know, if we've learned anything, we have to appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. We need to appreciate these guys. Compare and contrast that atmosphere to the one that we witnessed in the first match of the evening session tonight between Madison Keys, who beat Carla Suarez Navarro in straight sets. I have never seen an atmosphere like it in my life. I felt it was humiliating for the players, and to describe it, basically they came onto the court at 7 o'clock, and throughout the whole match there was this murmuring hubbub noise, this kind of white noise in the crowd as it filled up. It was very empty at the start, then by the end of the match it was absolutely jam-packed, but throughout the whole thing the crowd looked utterly disinterested, utterly unengaged, indifferent to it, and to my mind disrespectful of the match that was going on before them, and I found it really disappointing. Now that's that, yeah, you might say, well, they pay the money, they can do whatever they like, but it took game upon game before the umpire actually stepped in and said anything to
them.
It was
midway through the second set, and despite the protestations of both players.
There was a bit in the first set, but Carla Suarez Navarro went to the chair and said, you know, I really need this to be a bit quieter. I can't play.
He was saying, take your seats, ladies and gentlemen. But he didn't say, out of respect for the players, please could you be silent.
And you compare that to Pam Shriver, who came onto the court for ESPN. And the first thing she said was, guys, if you could just maybe keep the noise down for a few minutes. I know it's happy hour, but if you could just keep, you know, while I speak to this player that you've paid to come and watch. And I felt so sorry for those two players that were just being blanked by 23,000 people while they had their cocktails and had a basic catch-up in front of, you know, just in the Arthur Ashe Stadium. It really wound me up. And I think there were things that could have been done. I think the umpire could have been stronger. I think there's an argument for even the referee asking the announcer to say, ladies and gentlemen, the play is now underway. If you could please keep quiet during points. You know, I think that and stronger. I mean, Annabelle Croft, who was commentating with me on the match, she was furious about it, and she said, you know, I would shush this lot. She was really absolutely very clear that she would love to have grabbed that mic and just done it very differently.
It was outrageous. It was absolutely outrageous. It was horrible. It was like, you know, when you're sitting in a sort of soulless hotel bar somewhere in the world, you know, an intercontinental in... Actually, what sprung to my mind was an intercontinental I was once in Chengdu at a Champions Tour event. And there's a brilliant singer in the corner that's playing to nobody, or certainly nobody that's specifically there to see them. They just happen to be there and happen to be being brilliant in the corner, but nobody's... But also knowing that nobody's there for them. They're just sort of a nice incidental compliment to what's going on. And I always find myself sort of pathetically giving, you know, in those situations, giving a massive round of applause. And, you know, and then I think, is that really patronising? I don't know.
No, but I know what you mean. I do.
It felt like that. And it was horrible. And I think of Carla Suarez Navarro playing her first US Open quarterfinal, and okay, she lost it fair and square. Keys, it was the same for both of them. In many ways, you could argue worse for Madison Keys, because those were her home fans just ignoring her. But for Carla Suarez Navarro, you know...
Oh, dear.
Crikey.
What's going on here? What have we done?
You know, even if you lose matches like that, you'd hope that, you know, you'll always have the moment and the occasion and the stage and the experience. I'm not sure she had any experience at all tonight. I think it was just a loss, a completely... she had no stage, she had no occasion, she hadn't... You know, at least Madison Keys gets to come back in 2 days and have what I assume will be a stage and an occasion.
Keys was very
tomorrow
clever
even
in the post-match interview.
But poor Carla Suarez Navarro denied what was owed to her. It was nasty, really, nasty.
It was rude.
It was rude, what it was. And, you know, it doesn't mean any individual... You know, I love a chat as much as anyone. It doesn't mean that was... a particularly nasty crowd. It just, you know...
Somebody said to me that actually that what they're trying to do is encourage more ability to just, you know, have people come in and out and not worry about being quiet and so forth. But I think that is misjudging one of tennis's great qualities, which is silence. I don't want the US Open to be Wimbledon. It's not the same. But there is nothing like the drama of silence, of at least when play is on, the attention being on the bloody play.
Well, what the US Open does is those eruptions of raucous applause and celebration and drama and all of that.
Which is
great. And to have that, you need to have the contrast, don't you? You have to... It's what the US Open has is intensity. Intensity of emotion and drama and atmosphere. And you can't have intensity if no one's paying attention. I mean, that's precisely what was lacking. There was no intensity in that. It was the most bizarre occasion.
I've never seen it before.
It was
30 years of watching this tournament. Not
I feel like they should
like
get
that.
A rerun.
Yeah.
I mean...
Horrible.
Yeah. Anyway...
Right. So what's happening tomorrow night? Well, at the moment, anyway, it's 6-3, 4-all, second set. So there's still some drama here. So I'll come back on and have a little chat about that. But tomorrow, so the first women's semi-final, isn't it, tomorrow night? And it is Serena Williams against Anastasia Savastova. It's going to be at 7 o'clock local time, so midnight UK. And then it's followed by Osaka against Keys. What do you think we're going to get results-wise?
Well, I've got a feeling for Osaka, but then I am conscious of the fact that I've been misunderestimating. Goodness me, who am I?
Somebody with a new vocabulary.
I think isn't that that's a George W. Bush quote that I've just accidentally come out with.
Good work.
I have been guilty of underestimating Madison Keys throughout this fortnight, so I am conscious of that, but I'm potentially going to do it again and pick Osaka. In the other one, I am going to pick Serena, not because of any feeling that she's this unstoppable force with a fairy tale script already written that just has to be, just because I've been so, so impressed by her tennis. However, if her movement isn't there, Savastova will expose it like no one else, because she managed to expose Sloane Stephens' movement yesterday. And I didn't think there was anything to expose in Sloane Stephens'
movement.
Serena's
a great mover, really. Still, even amazing to
think. She is, but she wasn't in the final against Kerber. She got exposed that day. So I'm not saying there's anything to expose. I think probably there isn't, but we'll know for sure tomorrow night.
I think we'll get a Serena-Osaka final as well. Yeah, that's what I'd go for. But we shall see. Keys was good tonight.
She was
very professional. She played within herself. She was not broken. She wasn't just sort of flailing away. And she seems to be in a good headspace just at the moment. So maybe that experience will be... don't forget, Osaka led her 5-1 in the third set. Remember, a couple of years ago.
Goodness me. She was crying in the corridors afterwards. Yeah. But that was her Khachanov moment, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That's
breakout
a
moment.
Long time ago now. That's
sure
that was the loss that she'll look back on and say, that made me who I am now.
Yeah. Jamie Murray had a win and a loss today. One in the mixed doubles. He's through to the mixed doubles final with Bethany Mattek-Sands, and he lost in the doubles with Bruno Suarez.
To Radu Albot and Malik Jaziri, unseeded fledgling partnership.
Again,
I'm not sure they'll be happy with that.
Out on the grandstand court, people just didn't want to go out and watch because it was too hot.
He's too pale and Scottish to be playing in that guy.
He won on that court later.
I know, but yeah, I don't know. I'm projecting, David.
Okay.
I'm looking at my own pale, not exactly Scottish skin and thinking I wouldn't want to be out there.
And you're looking at mine and you're thinking, crikey, you wouldn't do too well out there, would you?
Exactly.
Little freckles and all that. Right then, Catherine, I'll come back on at the end of this match and let everybody know what's gone on. But Catherine will be back tomorrow. Have a good sleep, Catherine. You get a lie-in tomorrow, don't you?
Be still my heart.
So, two beers law is officially three beers law tonight, but I'll try to hold it together sufficiently to tell you what happened between Novak Djokovic and John Millman. Indeed, Djokovic has won through in straight sets. In the end, it wasn't that tight, but there were some concerning moments. You heard us talking about earlier this slightly bizarre situation of both players talking to each other at the net and then Milman going off to change his clothes. The USTA very quickly released a statement saying that Milman had approached the chair umpire to note his excessive sweating and the moisture it was leaving on the court. The chair umpire determined that the surface was dangerous enough to invoke the equipment out of adjustment provision in the ITF duties and procedures for officials and allowed Milman to go off court to change clothes and shoes. Both players agreed that he should do so. Djokovic did confirm that, you know, he was quite happy to have a little rest. So it was very unusual. Two games all, second set. The only other really notable thing that happened, apart from Milman playing as hard as he possibly could, playing well, but ultimately being outplayed by somebody who's better, is that Djokovic got two time warnings for going over the 25 seconds and then lost his serve almost immediately. He looked absolutely sick of it all. But he regathered himself very quickly, saw off Milman. It was a good competitive match, but it was pretty much exactly what I think we expected it would be. And Djokovic won in straight sets. And so he will now face Kei Nishikori, who he has a 14-2 record against. But one of those two wins came here at the US Open in a semi-final 4 years ago. So no guarantee that that won't happen again. Djokovic very much the favourite, of course, and Rafael Nadal and Juan Martín Del Potro in the other half. This has been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, Amazon Prime Video in the UK. They'll be back on air from 3:30 UK time on Thursday. Catherine will be presenting, and we are executive produced by Melanie Bowes, by Triple S, by TennisBalls.com. Our mascot is Charlie the Ferret. All right, Charlie. And our sponsor is La Manca Club. Thanks a lot. See you later, and we'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.